Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Think you know the Brooks Ghost? Think again. Introducing the all-new, better-than-ever Ghost 16. Now with nitrogen-infused cushioning for lightweight, supreme softness that feels good every step, every street, every single day. So go ahead. Take your daily joyride in the all-new nitrogen-infused Ghost 16. It'll turn your everyday miles into everyday endorphins. Let's run there. Head to brooksrunning.com to learn more.
Jewelry isn't a gift you give just once. It's a way to remind your loved one of a beautiful moment every time they see it. Blue Nile can help you find the gift that says how you feel and says it beautifully, with expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com and experience the convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com to find the perfect jewelry gift for any occasion. BlueNile.com.
Hi there, and welcome to Scout the Game Week. Scout the Game Week is Fantasy Football Scout's weekly podcast brought to you by the Scout Network. In each episode, we'll look back at the game week we have just played to assess what we can learn to help us in the next round of fixtures. I'm your host, Ryan, from Football Chatbox. Let's scout the game week. This week, I'm joined by Hebo FPL, a pro pundit at Scout, and has four top 10K finishes as an FPL manager as well. How are you doing, mate? And welcome to your first appearance on Scout the Game Week as well.
Thank you for the invite. Very early start for you, Ryan.
Indeed. It is.
6 a.m. and it's just going on 9 o'clock here in the evening. So,
well, this is how, like, even I'm recording videos with managers from different time zones in the UK. It's like an early morning start for me and a late evening start for most of y'all.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
Go ahead.
No, it's just lots to talk about now as we, I suppose, approach game week 36 and double game week 37s on the horizon as well. And then, I suppose, the build-up to finish in the season. So, yeah, lots to talk about. And, well, mostly injury-related, I think.
Yes, fair enough. I had a look at your squad as well. So, you played your wild card as well this week. So, similar to me. And you got a bench boost, I guess, in 37 is the plan.
That is the plan. Yeah. And I will do that because there isn't really an opportunity left to play the bench boost, you know. So, I don't know. It's, in my head, when I was planning the bench boost, I kind of thought I was going to play like a 15-15 bench boost. You know, I was going to have 15 double game week players. Yeah. I was going to bench boost them because this is like the dream scenario.
Yeah.
But then when I started trying to make the wildcard team, I was thinking, it's not really possible because it means I have to go with no Arsenal.
Yeah, and all of us went with Arsenal on our wildcards.
We had to go with Arsenal because I think the pool of defenders very weak.
Yep.
And, you know, you kind of had Poro, you kind of had a Newcastle defender, and then you were looking, thinking, if I don't pick two Arsenal defenders, I'm in real trouble because in game week 36, I won't have a decent defence to put out as well. So, it's not really the bench boost I had in mind when I thought about playing the chip, but we'll make the most of it.
Yeah, but, like...
No, go ahead. Sorry, Ryan.
So, the whole season, I haven't owned double Arsenal defense. I went with double Arsenal attack instead. So, I had Martin Odegaard for most of the double game weeks and everything. But this wild card I played, and I was like... I looked at my team in terms of like defenses for because it's not just 37 alone, right? Because we were looking at 35, 36, and 38 as well. And I was like, okay, how do I maximize each week as much as possible? And I was like, okay, probably get double Arsenal defense. I went with Rea and Gabriel instead of like Ben White and Gabriel because I did go for everyone went for the Newcastle defender. So I went Dan Byrne. Instead of the Fabian Schär move. Got in Guardiola from City. Pedro Porro.
Nice.
Dalot and Gabriel. That's my back line. So because I had Guardiola, unfortunately I benched Guardiola this week. So I'm 15 points on the bench, sitting there just unlucky. But because I had Guardiola, I was like, okay, 36, I should be fine. I can play Guardiola, Newcastle defender, and one Arsenal defender. So I got Gabriel Rea in goal for that. Now, obviously, when he goes to 37, I'm wondering whether I'd want to get rid of my double Arsenal defense, or at least like keep one defender and sell the other, or I haven't fully really decided where I want to go with that, with the bench boost also in mind, because I might move Rea off for like a Vicario because of the Burnley game and then Sheffield United at home the following one. That's the one reason I can think of, like moving maybe an Arsenal defense, but even then there aren't like that many standout options to bring in per se.
Which Spurs players do you have now?
I have Porro and Heung-min Son. That's it. I have a spot open. I didn't go full triple Spurs this because there was that whole discussion of like, maybe we don't know who the best third Spurs player is this game week. If we wait, probably can get to know. Now Richarlison has popped up, but then like if you look at the midfield five that a lot of wildcard managers have, it's very hard to kind of justify adding Richarlison into that as well. Because all the remaining midfielders have a case to be made to be in that team. So I'm like, yeah, okay, do it. But then again, do you really want to double up on Spurs defense who haven't been that great?
No.
Yeah, exactly.
I didn't, you know, no, like that was very much kind of my thoughts as I was building a wildcard team and they're good in attack, but then you have like, as you say, the Sheffield United fixture in game week 38, and then you've got the Burnley fixture.
Yeah.
And they have a lot of kind of tough fixtures within that. But then, in my head, I thought, is Chelsea that tough a fixture for Spurs' attackers? Is Liverpool that tough a fixture for Spurs' attackers? And I kind of thought, not really. Man City obviously is. But I thought they could maybe score against those, and then they have a couple of favourable Burnley and Sheffield United, and that's good. Now, in my head, I thought, I didn't want to double in the defence, but I went Richarlison, but I went Richarlison too early, and I kind of felt I wanted to get Richarlison rather than buying, say, Madison. And then pre-booking a transfer to say, right, well, then I'll go sideways Madison to Richarlison if I think Madison's numbers were terrible. I looked at Madison's stats, and I thought, I can't buy a Madison. It's just, no, it just doesn't me. So I bought Richarlison, and it's lucky in a way because now I have a couple of injuries, and I'm thinking I can deal with those rather than having to also make the Madison to Richarlison. I think Richarlison could be a very good pick because Werner's injured now.
Yes, exactly. That's the thing. So that means Richarlison probably gets more minutes now as well. Unless for some reason Ange plays Brennan Johnson on the left, Kahn still up front, and Kulusevski on the right.
Could happen. It just depends, I think, how far on Richarlison is with his recovery.
Yeah.
You know, because I think as FPL managers, we kind of think in our head, oh, Werner's out, so this is great. Richarlison's going to play every minute. But it doesn't necessarily work that way. It depends how fit he is. But fingers crossed, here's, we'll see how he does against Chelsea.
Yeah, that's what
Chelsea, I think, have a lot of injuries. They have a lot of injuries for Thursday night.
Yeah, they've got more now. De Sassi is out. And then Thiago Silva is also still not fit. They're down to like 10 or 11 senior players or something. That's including Gilchrist as well. So
it is.
And Gusto also doesn't seem like he's going to be back for game week 36 at the moment. So
no,
there's a lot of injuries there. But they do have Nkunku back in team training. Now, I don't know if that would mean that we see some minutes from him against Spurs this week, or whether we see some minutes in 36. And I don't know how many minutes he's capable of playing in the double in 37 as well. Not really sure. Because that's just another spot that I didn't go triple up on in terms of Chelsea. Nice. So I went only Petrovic and Palmer. So I have that open spot decide on what to do with Chelsea as well.
at least you don't have to watch Jackson hope that he scores points. Because that's where I am. Like, you know, I'm kind of, I have to watch Chelsea games, and then you just watch Jackson must chance after chance after chance, and you're just like, why have I done this to myself?
Watkins, thinking that Watkins will do well this week, but he didn't.
That was a good move. Yeah. I think that was a good move.
So I still have the game against Brighton before I decide whether, again, so that's the thing. So I was planning to go into Game Week 37 with two free transfers, decide whether I want to sell Watkins for whoever appears as a third forward for Game Week 37, mm-hmm. because there's, apart from Isak and Haaland, you're looking as for a third forward on a bench boost in Game Week 37, and you're like, who do I really want? Do I really want Jackson? Do I really want Hoyland? Maybe not. Joe Pedro, I'm not even thinking, because I've just written Brighton off as a team. Like, they're not performing anything. Then, okay, maybe Nkunku, if he somehow manages to convince me that he can play at least 60, 70 minutes per game in the double in 37, could be a nice differential, but we don't know with his fitness as well. So there aren't that many options. And then you're back to the single game because so that's like Watkins, maybe Chris Wood, Mateta, but yeah. Doesn't sound too promising as a bench boost.
No, it definitely does not. Like, you know, that's kind of why I brought Jackson on, like, you know, because it just kind of felt like the best of a bad selection, if you know what I mean. You know, he does get the chances, he does get the shots, he does get the XG and all that stuff. He's a terrible finisher, I think. We can all agree that his finishing isn't great, but you're just kind of hoping that he hits a purple patch in one game, scores a hat-trick, or scores two, even scores one. If he scores one, you know, you're going to be happy. But
the thing is,
I'm happy with the six that I have from Chelsea and Spurs. Yeah. Anyway, I think I won't be changing them. Like, you know.
Fair enough. Okay, so we'll the thing is, with Jackson, like, he gets the chances. He keeps getting the chances. But he's so bad at, like, finishing. He makes Darwin Núñez look a better striker for some reason.
He does. Yeah. He does.
which is like, very bad levels to be at. But
I think a really good stat for FPL.
Yeah.
Obviously, XG and stuff like that. But I like big chances must.
Because I heard that from later I say yesterday.
No, I do. I like big chances must, because like you're looking at that and you're thinking, he is getting the chances, he's missing them, and but he might not always miss them. He might not always miss them. There could be a time where he goes through a bit of a hot streak and he scores, he gets eight big chances and he scores at least four of them. And it could happen, you know. And I do like that as a stat, and he's the kind of player who, whenever I'm doing my captaincy articles, he appears on those kind of tables. Okay. Like, you know, when I'm doing that quite a lot, like, you know, but we prepared some questions and stuff like that. So do you want to step through that?
Let's go to that, because we've been going in like Spurs, Chelsea chat. But that's good, because it's very helpful for like managers who are in the same position and like trying to think of like, what do we do with like picking players? So hopefully that kind of helps. But let's get through the questions. So let's start with Manchester City. Because we saw Foden not in the squad due to illness. Maybe he'll be back this week. We don't know. Haaland came off the bench and scored, while KDB got two assists. And then I mentioned Guardiola already on my bench sitting there. We also saw Ederson leave the game in a sling. And I initially wrote it might rule him out for the season. But then we got a tweet out from, I think, that City Chief account. And they said that Ederson's injury is not as significant as they first thought. And then Ben Dinery on Twitter, who does the injuries, he basically said that Ortega will be in goal for this week, but then Ederson could be back. So, you got Ederson, if I'm not mistaken, right? So, what's the plan?
I have Ederson. Just bear with me 2 seconds, because there was a tweet about Ederson this evening.
Oh, okay.
Where I think they basically say, Surrey Extra have said that Ederson trained with a first team today.
Oh, okay. There you go.
Now, it all seems a bit up in the air, because, like, as you say, he was pictured in a sling, although this can be precautionary. Like, we've seen, you're a Manchester United fan. At one stage, Bruno Fernandes had his leg in a boot. Do you not remember that? And everybody sold him. And then I think he scored big points at the weekend. So I don't think you can read too much under that. Ortega's good. He's good enough to replace Ederson, because at times Ederson has just been downright bad, and he does silly things like trying to play it from a back and he loses the ball and stuff like that. But where I am with Ederson is, information is everything. Free transfers are everything. And right now, like, I have Ederson, I have Petrovic. So, like, my play at the minute is just to do nothing. What I'll probably do is I'll probably start Ederson.
Yeah. If he starts, he starts. If he doesn't,
because Petrovic, if he starts. Yeah. If he doesn't, and if he doesn't, I get Petrovic.
Yeah.
But in the position that I'm in now, I wouldn't buy Ederson, but I wouldn't sell him. But I also wouldn't buy Ortega because he seems like a complete non-runner anyway. So if I was moving to another goalkeeper and he was a double game week goalkeeper, it would possibly be like Onana.
Mm.
I'm not dying about that. I don't love United's double, Arsenal and Newcastle.
Yep.
I'm not really sure I see them keeping a clean sheet in either game. So
nope.
I'm in the position at the minute. But in an ideal world, Ederson would have been ruled out because it would have stopped me from kind of being Edersoned. Because
yeah.
I think coming on this run at the end of the season, like, Pep has the potential to do a funny thing where he would say,
yes.
Well, I'm going to play Ortega anyway. You know, and like Ortega would just appear in the second game in the double and you'd be like, God's sake. Whereas now I'm kind of stuck with Ederson. I can't move to Ortega. It would have been a great money saving because he's only 3.7
yes.
million. It would have opened up that third salary slot a wee bit more where you could have thought creatively and thought, I couldn't reach De Bruyne because you asked me, would it be possible to move to De Bruyne? But that requires a lot of restructure. But if I had two free transfers, you know, in theory, you could have went Ederson down to Ortega and maybe had an extra 1.5 million or 1.3 million.
Mm.
Did they end up upgrading another position? You know, so it could have been Guardiola or... but no, I think at the minute the play for me is just they be super patient.
Yeah.
Right out this week. See the information. Like we could get the Wolves team and Ederson could be starting in goal.
Mm.
Or it could be on the bench and it could give Ortega the run out. So I'd be happy enough just to keep with where I am. I can't do the KDB thing anyway because I'm sitting on a midfield of like Foden, Son,
yeah,
Richarlison, Gordon, and Palmer.
Okay, yep.
And I'm never going to change any of those midfielders at this moment in time because they're all just kind of locked in for me for this final run on bar, maybe game week 38. So like KDB's off the menu. It would have been basically changing the goalkeeper and maybe buying like a defender or something like that. But no, for now, I think super patient. And hope that Ederson reappears.
Yeah, that's the thing. Because at this point, you're like, do you really want to spend a transfer on a position that has very low upside as well? Might as well just wait one more week, see what information you get, and then kind of like move and like structure your team accordingly based on like that information. Mm-hmm. Because to be honest, even if Ederson wasn't starting this week. Now, we expect City to keep a clean sheet against Wolves, but the way they played against Forest itself, I wouldn't be surprised even if they were to have Ederson in goal that they keep a clean sheet this week against Wolves as well. So, at this point, just keep who you have, see what happens in Game Week 36, and then in Game Week 37, decide based on that information. Probably where...
Yeah, I think that's fair. Do you have Ederson?
No, I'm Henry Guardiola. But then I benched
him. Got,
yeah, so different story.
No, but I would prefer to be in your position right now. You know, Guardiola looks kind of attacking. You know, I didn't want to go for him because of like, I suppose the potential for minutes risk. But you just don't know. Like Manchester City, they're trying to win the league. So
yeah, this thing.
Well, it's not like last season where they had the league won so early that in the late double game week there was loads of rotations. So,
but they had Champions League last season as well. Stable. They don't have anything this season. That's the thing.
They that's a good point.
Yeah,
they don't have anything, and they're gunning for a title, and they don't have a title won. So maybe it keeps it fairly steady, you know. But I would rather be in your position than mine, I think.
Yeah, so we'll see what happens. I guess Pep does some crazy things. You never know because there's still like a 2-day rest in Game Week 37 as well between the two games, I think. So they still, even though they're like nothing else to play for, like in the middle of the league, he could still rotate for some strange reason.
No, if it's 2 days rest, they'll definitely rotate.
Yeah. So Pep does crazy stuff. So the thing is, he has the squad to do that. That's the problem.
He does.
So that kind of makes it hard as a field manager. But you're gonna have to pick players and then just hope for the best.
And that's kind of why I don't really like KDB as a pick. I picked KDB earlier in the season.
Yes, same.
Round about 25. Double game week 20. Yeah. Double game week 25. What's and I consciously did it. They try and I. You know what, Ryan? I think it was a wee bit unlucky. You know, it wasn't. It wasn't great because he was returning from injury and. Yeah. He's had bad injuries and they've taken the toll on KDB himself and they obviously were a wee bit more cautious, but I think he picked up another injury. I think he got re-injured and then he missed games as a result after double game week 25 completely. Like, you know, and the game against Chelsea, he was very unlucky not to like score like at least double digits. I think if he had got one assist in that game, he would have got a 10-pointer because he had created so many chances past completion and stuff like that. But the stuff you're saying about, say, the two-day turnaround, that's like the kind of game that's the kind of game he misses. Yes. You know, it's...
So they have the Saturday game. And then they have... It's a Tuesday night game. So, yeah. So Sunday, Monday, and then...
Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and then they don't play to the following Sunday.
Yeah. Yep.
They could miss a Tuesday, like... He's a lot of money for a player that can potentially rotate.
Yeah.
You know, like, you're kind of left guessing.
Yep.
Am I gonna turn on the TV and he's going to be on the team or is he not going to be on the team? And that's just too much money for that. But I didn't think that way in Double Game Week 25.
Fair enough. Same. I also went for the attraction of KDB and I was like... That double, I don't even want to speak about because I had like Jota and Darwin and they all started off so well and ended up so badly. So it was just a nightmare.
That was very unlucky.
Yeah.
You know, I do think because I had Jota, I had Darwin, and in a way you couldn't have prepared better for that double. Yeah. But outcome's outcome and that's just how it goes.
Indeed. So I guess that kind of answers like the whole triple city attack or defender and then goalkeeper question. So cover that City. Let's move over to Newcastle because they are currently top of the ticker as well at the moment in terms of like games left and all of that. Isak and Gordon were on great form, but Fabian Shah, he also came off with an injury. Now, don't know what exactly how bad that is. Based on Eddie Howe's comments, he said it didn't look too serious, but then can you really trust Eddie Howe as well based off his recent like form in terms of comments? He's not really reliable in all of that as well. But again, I think this is probably similar to an Ederson situation where you probably hold and see what happens. Or where are you with that?
This episode is supported by FX's Clipped, the scandalous story of the 2014 Clippers owner's racist remarks captured on tape and heard around the world. The series charts the tape's impact on a dysfunctional basketball organization striving to win against their reputation as the most cursed team in the league. Starring Lawrence Fishburne, Jackie Weaver, Cleopatra Coleman, and Ed O'Neill. FX's Clipped. Streaming June 4th. Only on Hulu.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care, and we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it, all while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
Very much the same as the Ederson thing for me. You know, FPL Harry, you know FPL Harry Twitter and YouTube and stuff like that. He posted tonight Newcastle training pictures. I'm assuming they're from, you know, Getty Images. People search the Getty Images. Shar's not pictured in training, although sometimes teams do tactical stuff where they leave players with shots or they blur them out of the background and stuff like that. So he's not the training pitchers, but as you said, like Eddie Howe hasn't been truthful with us. There's been times this season where Gordon's been effectively like red flagged. He might miss weeks. And then he plays at the weekend, he scores, and you're thinking, oh, come on. But I do think the shower thing, because it seems like a, it sounds like a soft muscle injury. It sounded like a hamstring. He's kind of tried to play it down. Like, well, this is the information we have. He's tried to play it down. Based on what we can see, he hasn't trained. I don't think he's going to make Burnley. I think I might have to replace him at some point in the future, but I might do the exact same thing with Shar that I'm going to do with Ederson, and I might just put him in the starting lineup. Now, in terms of my replacement, I'll get Dalot.
Yeah, which isn't too bad.
It's not too bad. Away to Palace is, like, my defence would be basically then Ederson, who would become Petrovic, White and Gabriel, and then I would get Dalot one, which is okay, but I think if you're looking at kind of clean sheet percentage, it's not great. I think it's sub 20%.
No, but
for United
against Palace, Palace are the
great team. Yeah. If Eze plays and Matera play, you know,
then it's a problem. If Eze doesn't play, I think you have a slightly better chance, because I feel like Palace's attack doesn't click as much. But if Eze plays, we're getting destroyed. Eze, only say time up front. You don't even hope for a clean sheet. You're hoping for attacking returns. That's one of the reasons I got Dalot. It wasn't for clean sheets. It was for attacking returns.
That's why I didn't go for Maguire.
Yeah.
Because I wanted that kind of slight chance of like a fluky assist.
Yep.
Exactly. You know, where like he plays like a 5-yard pass and then United score from it. And then you go, right, okay, I've suddenly got like a 9-point Dalot. But no, if I was to think about how I would replace Shar, I would probably just get Dan Burn, if I'm being completely honest. Now, I wouldn't do it this week unless Eddie Howe comes out and says, look, he's out for the season. And even then, because it's Eddie Howe, you'd be thinking, I wouldn't trust him anyway. But if he did come out and say Shar's out for the season, I would consider that move this week. But in all likelihood, I'm probably just going to defer all moves, Ederson, Shar, whatever. Roll the transfer. Move towards kind of game week 37 and then just kind of pick up the pieces and just see, well, what can I do here with two moves, or what can I do with a move if Ederson's back? It might just be the simple move of going Shardy Burn. But then if I could go Shardy Burn this week and it saved me from playing Dalot, it could be a points profit move this week, so it might make more sense. So that, on my head, like looking at my own team at the minute, I think the simple move is just to save transfer. I think by far it's the best move, but I think the next best move would be maybe Shar to Dan Burn, but it depends.
Depends on what we hear. Yeah.
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 Definitely. But I'm glad I went for it. Do you have Gordon?
Yes, I do have Gordon.
And you have Isaac?
Yes.
Loads of people went for the double Newcastle defence, and I think that's a problem, because if you were on the double Newcastle defence and you've got Shar and Burn, and you don't have Gordon, say, in the midfield.
Yeah.
You know, it's taken two transfers to fix that, number one. And, like, which defender do you go to from Shar, because you can't go to Burn? Like, that's a lot trickier. And I didn't like that. And there's lots of kind of narrative at the minute about, and it is true, like, statistically it is true, but, like, they're talking about home and away form, and people are talking about benching Gordon against Burnley, and that sounds absolutely crazy.
Yeah, I
want to
get to that. Now, it's well known that he's had only, what, two games where he's returned away from home this season, and that was, I went and looked at it as well, game week 6 against Sheffield United, and then game week 23, I think, against Luton, if I'm not mistaken.
Good research.
Yeah, both against relegation sides, effectively, I would say. And Burnley are in this category as well. Now, everyone's just looking at two games that he's returned away. Do we really want to start him based on his away form? But then again, the counter argument is Newcastle are on pretty good form in general. Gordon's on pretty good form in general. And I'll add to this that he's actually scored against relegation sides, and he scored a 12-point against Sheffield United back in game week 6. What's to say he won't do the same against Burnley? Burnley have to come out and play and try and win this game if they want to stay in the Premier League, which I feel plays into the hands of Newcastle if they want to counter.
I'm not really surprised by the narrative, because people kind of played down Gordon in the wildcard week, you know, because it was easier to get the two defenders, and then you could put Bruno on the midfield, you know, which was kind of how people spent the money. But I watch Man United games, I didn't want Bruno. I know he was very unlucky not to score big, but I just didn't want Bruno, and I thought, I'm not going there. I definitely want Gordon. But in my head, I kind of thought, Newcastle absolutely destroyed Sheffield United the last time they played them. Did they not score 8 goals?
Yeah, something like that.
I thought, no, like I need to have these two attackers, because if they go crazy, and in the end,
they did,
In the end, they did, but they could have went crazier.
Yeah.
You know, it could have been huge scores. It could have been like 20 points each type thing. Only like he took maybe Isak off, and then he took Gordon off around the 80 or whatever.
But, you know, he was searching for his hat-trick, Isak, like before that as well. So
He's a very good player. Yeah. I think he could go to Arsenal maybe, or, you know, he looks...
Yeah, exactly.
He looks a very good striker. Like, you know, he's a good finisher.
Yes.
But... Arsenal players, are we going to discuss that?
Yes, we'll get to that as well. But quick question. Now, with Gordon, probably still a good option to play this week.
Yeah.
Because I think a lot of people, the narrative is coming, not because of Gordon alone, I feel like. It's more that a lot of people have benching headaches this week. And Gordon seems the easiest one to like bench based on that away result. Because I have Heung-min Son as well. I have Heung-min Son, Bruno Fernandes, Foden, Palmer in my midfield. And Watkins up front. Now, if I had Jackson up front, I would have thought about maybe benching Jackson because of it's just being Jackson. But because of the other players I have, I'm like, oh, I don't know who to bench. So I'm thinking of most likely benching Son, but we'll get to that later. But that's kind of where I'm at the moment. Just because of like picture being slightly harder and also because of mini league chasing. So like people above me have Heung-min Son. But don't necessarily have Gordon, some of them. I'm like, okay, that's kind of where I'm hedging my bets and hoping I can gain.
How far back are you in these leagues?
40 points, roughly.
Do they have chips?
One has a bench boost, one has a triple captain. So it is not easy. It's tough, but you never know.
No. Do they have good teams?
Yes, one just wildcarded, and one wildcarded in game week 25. So he's like in a bit of an odd position. The guy who's on the top wildcarded this week as well. Very similar team as mine, but he is as Gordon. He has Heung-min Son as well. The only differences are I think I had Watkins. He went with Jackson. And I think there was an. I had Bruno Fernandes, and I don't think he had Bruno Fernandes. So those are the small changes.
Bruno Fernandes seems to be the player that's caused this benching headache.
because
every team that I've looked at that has this benching headache, they all own Bruno Fernandes, I think.
But I'm not going to bench Bruno Fernandes. That's the thing, because he's very well capable of a haul.
I wouldn't bench Son. We'll go on to that later, but I wouldn't bench.
Yeah, because it's a very... interesting decision to make. I think I've caused a problem because I had Watkins. If I had Jackson, I wouldn't be in this situation. In my main head, I would just bench Jackson potentially against West Ham even. But
who does Watkins play?
Brighton.
you can't bench Watkins.
Exactly.
Is he at home or away?
Yeah, Aston Villa, Brighton. It's away. Even then, it's Brighton. The way Brighton are playing, I'm like, yeah.
They're not good.
Yeah. And he's chasing for the golden boots. That's why I've got him in my team. But anyways, we'll get to that. We'll go to Arsenal.
Yeah.
Arsenal, both of us have double defense. Great fixture this week. We're hoping they keep a clean sheet. But their attack is something, I guess, that those who wildcarded just now couldn't really get and have. That's a differential point between those who were wildcarded earlier and who wildcarded like in game week 35. And I think a lot of us probably are looking for an Arsenal attacker in game week 38. That's like that last week punter, potentially. But like this week, how do you see the game going? And even Bournemouth, what do you think? Because a few still have Solanke as well.
Yeah, I follow an account on Twitter, Rob T, FPL.
Yes,
he produces like the kind of projected goals
chats,
graphics
yeah.
and stuff like that. Now, Rob has predicted, well, not Rob, because this data basically
yeah.
comes from spread markets
yeah,
and
yeah.
they're like fairly accurate at predicting goals. Now, they have Arsenal, they score 3.
Yes.
Which is quite high, you know, because statistically, when I looked at the Bournemouth defense for like my captaincy piece this week, I'm kind of right
with defense.
That. They are actually
yeah.
quite good, and it surprised me when I looked at the data. I thought they're kind of up near the top as in the best teams for like non-paying XG conceded.
Yeah,
they're not conceding many big chances. I think they've conceded the joint fewest big chances, which maybe 8 or something like that. You know, so they're not a bad team, and that's like talking about over the last 6. But I think you make a good point in the fact that anybody that wildcarded in 35 kind of had to come off Arsenal. They
yep.
kind of had to come off Liverpool.
Yep.
Anybody that wildcarded maybe back around 28 and played the early wildcard,
they
probably still have yep. an Arsenal attacker floating around their team. But Saka, for like me, has always kind of been like my go-to player at Arsenal, because you know you've got the pens, chance creation, shots, all that kind of stuff. But like Havertz has just been incredible, really. Like, you know, he's, you know, and when you kind of sit the two players side by side, and like I did a wee kind of small comparison just before I came on air, and I looked at the last 6, and I think like Havertz has received like he's had like 6 big chances or received 6 big chances compared to Saka's 2, so he's getting in those kind of high threat positions, and in terms of like shots on target, he has 11 to Saka's 5, and he's got the leading XG, he's got the leading like non-penalty involvement and stuff like that, you know. So it is surprising, like on a kind of football level and kind of getting away from FPL. Like when that transfer happened, I thought kind of Havertz to Arsenal, is this
he didn't start
like, you know,
well,
but
yeah.
He started terribly, but
yeah.
like I know lots of people that started with Havertz.
Yeah.
And they must be looking now thinking, well, you know, I was on the right track in some way, shape, or form.
Yeah.
It was too early, but I think at that stage he was playing at times like an 8. You know,
yes.
I think Arteta was trying to figure out
where to put him in. With Gabriel Jesus as well.
I know he's just a striker, like
yeah.
you know, and he brings something completely different to Jesus, because he's just kind of cool,
yeah.
calm. He can finish well, and he's fairly accurate, you know. But I think when you do look at the stats, and you look at ownership, you know, because I don't really like to talk about ownership too much, but it comes on the play now, like where you're talking about money leagues and stuff like that, where and overall rank as well, that if you had two players and you thought, look, I think they're both reasonably good options, you probably should pick a lower owned player at the minute.
Yeah.
They try and break through, you know, and I think Havertz could be that player. Maybe it could be the double game week 38 player that you want to jump on, like, you know, but I think for us now, it's not something I'll do because my midfield is basically locked.
Yeah,
but in 38, I could do it, you know.
Yeah.
But like in 38, I think I'll have Son and Richarlison against Sheffield United. So if I could add an Arsenal mat on there, it would be nice.
Yes.
You know,
because that'll be good. Those are like the good differentials we want. And it's the last week as well. Take a punt. Because if you're trying to gain rank, you can't go safe as well. You're not going to gain anything. You have to take that lower differential player.
Richarlison captain last week of the season.
Oh,
just go for it.
It could work. I'm not going to. Yeah.
Could work.
Because I remember like last season game week was 36 when Everton had that double, or was it I think so
was Everton.
Yeah, and I captained Richarlison and he hauled. So I was like, yeah,
I captained Danny Ings.
Oh,
they had a double game week too.
Yes,
who was
I
he playing
so.
For the end? West Ham.
Yeah. I think so. Oh, was it West Ham? Yeah, I think West Ham. Yeah,
I captained Danny Ings, and it went absolutely terribly. And if I had a captained Richarlison,
yeah.
I would have really kind of flown up the ranks a bit more, like, you know. But I didn't really believe in Richarlison at that stage, you know. But the more, like every week, he seemed to be kind of scoring, and
yep.
like, he more or less single-handedly pulled Everton out of
yes.
like relegation, I suppose.
Yep.
Like, you know,
yep.
But,
So Havertz, good option. Arsenal, still pretty good option this week. I guess this is where the question appears, like with Arsenal defense. In game week 37, do we want to still keep double Arsenal defense on a bench boost, or do you look to sell at least one?
It depends on my position
yeah.
with free transfers.
Yeah.
You know, because like from now to the end of the season, I won't take a hat. I won't go minus four at any point. Yeah, like yeah. It's just like if I'm wild carding on 35, I'm never taking minus four.
No.
Unless I've got lots of injuries and lots of kind of problems to deal with. And at the minute we do have Ederson, where I do have Ederson, I do have Shar, we're waiting to see how they go. So with that in mind, I don't really see me kind of coming off one of those Arsenal defenders because they're strong in 36, they're strong in 38.
Yes.
They're playing United in 37, but they could clean, but I think I'll just stay on them because of how strong they are either side of the double.
Yep.
If you know what I mean.
Yep.
And then try and add like a third Arsenal player in 38. That's my mindset at the minute.
Yeah.
Go strong on Arsenal, go strong on Spurs and maybe Liverpool option. I don't know. I'll decide at the time.
That was one of the, like, when I was making my wildcard between having Rea and Ben White, I was liking to get Ben White, but just price-wise and being able to afford the other players, it wasn't as easy. Because I wanted Watkins as well. If I didn't go Watkins, I could have afforded Ben White. But I wanted Watkins, that's why I couldn't afford Ben White. But, like, with Ben White and Gabriel, even if they don't clean, they have the chance of attacking returns.
They do.
That's the positive. Whereas Rea doesn't, you're just trusting on, like, save points in the double in 37 if they don't keep it clean. So that's where I'm like, okay, maybe I have a chance to potentially bring Vicario in for that double if I don't see any other Spurs play that I want. Because Burnley at home, potentially they could keep a clean sheet. Hopefully. Not really sure. City, they're not good. Right?
Oh, Spurs?
Yeah, yeah, Spurs.
Right,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah, for Rea. So I like sell Rea, bring in Vicario as a free transfer. And then Sheffield United in game week 38. It's not the worst set of two fixtures to have. But then obviously Rea is significantly better because he plays for a better defense. So
what's your team ID?
477-677.
2 seconds.
Yeah.
I want to look at your team. That's what I was trying to do. You see there now?
Ah, okay. Yep.
477-677.
Yep.
There you are. Right, okay. I need a reference point, you see, when you're talking about your team. I need to kind of know who you have and who you don't have. You could do that.
Yep.
You could do that. I think that works for you. The only thing I would say is Richarlison feels like big ceiling compared to, like...
Yes, that's true. For that
double Spurs defense. But
the question is then, who do I start removing? Because that midfield five, I'm like, oof.
It's hard to see who you remove there. Yeah. Bruno Fernandes, who does he play in the last week?
Brighton.
Brighton away.
Yeah.
That could...
That could be a fixture where I like, get like an Arsenal attacker. Potentially. Or Richarlison.
It could be, like, you know, you'd be trying potentially to fit on two players there, like, you know, an Arsenal midfielder and someone like a Richarlison on there too, you know, but Gordon, who does he have? Who does Gordon have last week? Brentford away.
Yes.
You could punt him out as well, because I know there is the stuff about, like, the away record for Newcastle and stuff like that, you know.
Like, I could do a double change of Gordon and Bruno Fernandes in the last day.
Taking a hat's okay in the last week. Like, it depends.
I've taken
some good hats. Like if you look at the FPL textbook, people will say it's a really, really stupid idea to take a minus four because you've got 1 week to try and gain the points back. Like, you know, it doesn't technically make any sense. But I've had some good minus fours in the last week this season where, like, you really go for it and you pick
sometimes
two really differential.
Exactly.
Sometimes it works.
Yeah. It doesn't have to also be for a hit because I have two free transfers in 37 and then the question arises, like, with the double Arsenal and Watkins as the only single game makers, like, how many do I really want to remove? Like, if I only want to just, like, let's say no third striker pops up as a good option, then Watkins against Liverpool might not be the worst thing as well, to be honest, because that's Watkins at home as well. So then I go, okay, maybe I can roll a transfer as well into 38 and then have two free transfers to make those changes. But then again, you're losing the advantage of the last double of the season. Potentially take a, if you're trying to gain rank, might as well just try and maximize.
Go for the double.
Yeah, exactly. So we'll see. No, I don't know. Yeah, we'll see how it goes. But okay, I guess Arsenal, that covers Arsenal. Man United, we touched on it before, like away game to Palace. I guess good for attackers, I would say, still, in general, for both sides.
Good for attackers. Like, I had a brief look at the projected goals, and I think United are projected for like 1.6, which is good for like an away trip. You know, clean sheet percentage was 16%. So I think, I think ideally, like, don't expect, but if you're in a scenario where you have potentially an injured player like Shar, like in my position, I might just let him come in. You know, it's no real problem. But I think your players like Bruno, very playable. I think if you had a bench headache, you could bench Garnacho, if you know what I mean. Yes. You know, because I know teams do have a bench headache. You know, would I play Garnacho ahead of Gordon? Probably not. No. You know, when, and if that was the structure of your team. But
yeah, that's the difference. Like, if I went for a Garnacho, then I'd be more inclined to bench him rather than Heung-min Son or someone like that, because no penalties as well. That's kind of plays into it. And also, like, he's not guaranteed 90 minutes every time, whereas Bruno is kind of like guaranteed to play in like 90 minutes and penalties. Yeah. So that kind of pushes him up as well.
Yeah. I don't hate the game. And, you know, I think lots of our thinking from Crystal Palace is based on what we've seen in like double game week 34, because for like large parts of the season, Palace have been absolutely terrible.
Yep.
But then they turned on the kind of like prime Real Madrid and just scored goals for fun. And Matera scored nearly 30 points. And everybody cheered in the crowd and said, this is brilliant. You know, double game week 34 was a huge success. But like, I could see United keeping a clean sheet. I could see it being a boring game. Although United are predicted for like 1.6 and very low on the clean sheet, it's the kind of game it wouldn't surprise me if it was 0-0. They'd be completely
But I think we'll probably score, because I think we've scored in almost like every game this year, if I'm not mistaken. I don't think we have gone a game without scoring. So that's why I'm like, even in gaming 37 against Arsenal, I still think we'll probably score that game as well, which is where I'm like, double Arsenal defense, do I want Rea or not? Is like, I'm like, because if I can see us scoring, then it's just Gabriel bullet header is a very possible scenario, which is why I probably might keep Gabriel, but Rea, I'm very inclined to kind of sell.
Yeah, that's fair.
Because it is at Old Trafford as well. That's the other thing. So that's one of the reasons. But again, Arsenal elite defense can keep clean sheet. Nothing, like, we've seen that very well possible of doing that. But from the other point of view, I guess everyone probably has one defender, United defender, even though it's not the best scenario to be in, but they do have possibly one defender. Then it's that third spot. Do you really need a third United spot? Probably not. But again, what do you think?
I have one Man United player, Diallo, so I don't see that increasing for me.
Yep,
you know, unless...
But then you have Richarlison, so that's a good fixture against Burnley, so there's no reason for you to kind of increase that.
I don't, you know, that was my decision on Wildcard. You know, I kind of looked, and my team was, I was maybe kind of a few transfers away from saying, going Diallo to like Maguire, and then beefing up that Richarlison spot on the like Bruno Fernandes, because it was easy enough to do. But then in my head, I thought, no, I want to go on with three Spurs, three Chelsea. Do you know, that's the way I want to play that. I don't want to go on necessarily with single game week Bruno Fernandes and team and 35 and stuff, you know. But no, I don't think I'll increase me kind of quota of Man United players, let's say.
Yep, fair enough. Yeah, I for me, I don't know. Like, I'm still looking for that third forward spot. So if it's going to be Jackson or even a Hoyland for some reason, even though he doesn't seem to be getting any service for now, or if some other striker appears, then maybe I'll replace that Watkins spot. But at the moment, I don't know where I'm going for that. And I would not go defense. I'm not doubling up on United defense at all. There's no clean sheets in that game week at all, to be honest. If anything, the only clean sheet I can see is probably in 38, because Brighton are struggling to score. But even then, I wouldn't go anywhere near United defense.
No, I agree. I do agree.
All right, let's move over. Now, Spurs and Liverpool. Tough game this week. And this is where, I guess, the whole benching dilemma for a lot of people happens. Now, I guess I'm not sure how to read this with regards to like Liverpool. But do those who still have Salah, is it worth keeping this game week or just sell? What do you think?
Oh, I think you keep.
Okay.
I think if you have Salah, you keep. I think Salah's captainable this week against Spurs. You know, because I know we'll move on to that slightly in a wee minute, but I think his ownership's really plummeted because of like wildcard 35, and everybody kind of focuses on towards the doubles, and we all end up with roughly the same team. Whereas if you took a slightly different path, you could probably be in a position where you could hold Salah this week. But then maybe think, right, I might break up my team next week with two transfers to kind of play into the bench boost or whatever. You would probably get rid of him then. But no, like Liverpool, again, we'll go back to kind of goal projections, and they're projected for like 2.75 this week, which is
insane.
Huge.
Yeah.
It's absolutely huge. And Spurs are actually projected for 1.43.
That's what
Liverpool
like...
have been terrible.
Yeah.
In this game, like, and intuitively, without looking at that kind of market data or anything like that, I would have said, well, I fancy both teams to score in that game.
Yes.
And the market data suggests that both teams will score in that game. I think you bench Porro.
Definitely
bench Porro. You know, you wouldn't play Vaquero if you had him. You would definitely put him on the bench. I have Son and Richarlison. I'm benching Richarlison. I'm definitely playing Son because penalties. But he could move the left wing. He could move the left wing if Richarlison starts up front. But I would still be playing my Liverpool attackers, and I would still be playing my Spurs attackers. And there's no conflict there. You know, you're not kind of cutting your own throat by playing like Liverpool attackers, Spurs attackers and Liverpool defenders or vice versa. Like, you know, so no, I would, that's why I would say I would find it very hard for you to bench Son this week.
Yeah, that's what, but I don't know who I bench. That's the thing. Unless I go and bench Bruno Fernandes, that's the only other thing I can think about.
I don't think you can do that.
Yeah, that's the thing. So I have no idea who I want to bench. Like, it doesn't make any sense. Unless, for some reason, you know, Foden is still not fit and he doesn't play, then my issues are all automatically solved. But...
possible.
Yeah.
Like, this team of yours, this is one of these teams where, like, Gordon's first sub.
Yeah, in most cases.
He's probably correctly first sub.
Yeah.
Like, you know, because you're looking about playing Bruno, Son, Palmer, Foden, Isaac, Watkins, and Haaland.
Yeah.
And as you say, you might kind of get out of jail because if a player ends up injured, doesn't play, maybe Gordon comes on. But I don't know. I wouldn't be keen on doing it if I was you. I didn't really want to do it. That's why I built my team in such a way to kind of avoid that headache this week. But it's maybe the best bet for your team.
Yeah, true. That's what a lot of people have told me. Like, just probably bench Gordon, like that away form and all of that. But this game's Burnley, and I'm like, oh, Burnley are so bad defensively.
It's definitely tough. But I in that position, I couldn't bench Son.
Yeah.
Definitely couldn't bench Son.
The thing is...
because I think a lot of these kind of elite top-level teams, they all play the high line. And, this is kind of... this is like a grass kind of perspective. It's not very kind of data-based, although there is data on it. But Son does well in these kind of games. You know.
That's,
you know, where teams play high and they play in the break and he goes early. And with pens, I think, well, statistically, you maybe have a chance to get in a pen every three games or four games. Although Spurs haven't had many pens this season.
I think that was probably his first or second.
I think they've had one.
I think only last game, I think we all got confirmed that Sandy's a penalty taker. I don't think they had a pen before.
No, that's his second penalty of the season.
Okay.
That's his second penalty because he had scored one before. Look how many penalties Palmer's had.
Yeah, exactly.
It's ridiculous.
But then some teams just like they play in such a way that they tend to get a lot of penalties because they have like tricky players up front. Spurs, on the other hand, don't necessarily have those tricky players up front that like tend to dribble and fall and all of that. but I will add, now obviously Davies is also out as part of the whole Timo Werner situation as well.
Yeah.
Which means maybe Emerson Royal plays that left-back spot potentially. Now, we saw Saka exploiting Davies for pace and everything. Doesn't necessarily mean Salah will have the same luck. Maybe he might, we don't know, against Emerson Royal. But I guess that's one thing to kind of like keep an eye out for, because Royal could be a decent punt as well for anyone looking for 37 or 38 if they want a defensive player. Or is it, do you think it's just not worth it?
I would, well, against Sheffield United, I would want the kind of try and have two attackers.
Yeah.
If possible.
Yeah.
So it might not be possible, but so those I think with Poro, you're getting that attacking threat. Maybe the chance of an old set piece, although Madison takes a lot of them.
Yeah.
It's taking a lot of them back, but I don't think, no, I would go under that game looking, thinking I would want the two attackers.
Yeah, fair enough. All right. We'll end it with players who don't have a double that we haven't mentioned in 37. Anyone else that we probably should keep an eye out for as decent punts for 36 or 38?
For 36 or 38?
Yeah. Because I know a lot of managers who are probably looking at... There are a few managers who have like free hit as well available, and they're looking to play a free hit in 37. So they have that option of like avoiding 37's double and like focusing on 36 and 38.
Well, I think Chris Wood, potentially. He's got Sheffield United this week.
Yes.
He had a lot of chances against Man City. And then you're looking at maybe...
Burnley in 38 for him as well. Yep.
Burnley in 38 for him as well, which is a very good fixture. I think 38's kind of tried and tested, because I think motivation's a factor, Ryan. And, like, you know, if the league's won at that stage... Do teams rotate? And we don't really know that. 38's a difficult week because on the day there's just so many leaks and teams are starting to come out early, because I think lots of like managers and clubs, they don't really care so much about keeping their team under wraps in the final day of the season because lots of them, the league's gone for lots of them, and then you start to hear, well, Haaland isn't going to play and Saka isn't going to play, and it really makes things. That's why two transfers is very handy in the last season. But
the thing is, 38 is a very high scoring game week as well because of that.
It is.
Yeah.
I look at these fixtures and I think Spurs against Sheffield United, we've spoke about, Man City against West Ham, obviously a great fixture. Liverpool against Wolves, like, it's going to be like Anfield, Klopp's last game. Emotional, all that kind of stuff. Like, so if I could try and get a player from that fixture. Now, who that's going to be will probably depend on leaks and stuff at the time, because it would be very hard for me to get to say Salah, but could I get the Darwin? Do I want to get the Darwin? You know, you know, but I have that Jackson slot, which
Then
lends itself, lends itself to being somebody like Darwin, you know, but.
Yeah, if Jota was available, I would have gone for Jota. I was eyeing Jota before he got injured.
Agreed.
Yeah,
agreed.
But then he got injured, and I'm like, yeah, there goes that plan.
Mm-hmm. Even someone like Trent, you know, it's,
that's a possibility.
I do like, I do like Trent, and then you look at that Wolves.
Yeah.
You know, they're not the most attacking team, although Gary O'Neill's made them decent. Mm-hmm. But like a player that can assist, maybe score a free kick, get the clean, get the bonus. Mm. It could be a good punt that's low ownership, but we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. All right, cool. We'll end it with captaincy. Now, you do the captaincy articles on Scout. Who are the captaincy option this week? And are there any differentials? Because I'm definitely looking for a differential. I think everyone will tell Haaland, but I'm not going Haaland because I want that differential to like chase rank and climb mini leagues. So, who are the options?
Well, I think... Haaland's obviously dominant in the captain pool at the minute. I think he's on Scout. He's maybe around 50-60% at the minute, which is understandable. But then I think when you look at the most elite managers, once the game week starts, he'll be more than 50-60% amongst the elite managers.
He's at 43% at the moment. I'm looking at Scout's poll. Yeah.
See, amongst the elite managers, he'll be about, once the game week closes, and we get the data, I would say he'd be capping by about 70-80% elite managers. Very good managers. Now, do I think he's the best capping pick this week? I probably do.
Mm.
You know, Wolves at home, I think, again, projected goals, they're projected for like 3.3.
Mm. But they have a decent defense, though.
They aren't a bad defense. Yeah. And now, if you look at if you look at, say, Liverpool, Arsenal, Man City, they've all been projected to score roughly around 3 goals, and Chelsea have projected to score like 2.25. Now, I looked at, well, a couple of defences. I've looked at Wolves, decent enough. I've looked at Bournemouth, decent enough. West Ham are very poor.
Oh, they're horrible. They're at the bottom. Like, last 6 game weeks, I was looking, West Ham and United, Manchester United, both at the bottom. 20th and 19th.
Yep. If I look at the individual player numbers, because like that's how my article is kind of broken down. Like, I look at individual player numbers, I look at kind of team attack, I look at team and defense and stuff like that. Palmer's individual numbers are just incredible.
Yes.
And sometimes when people talk around about a differential for captaincy, I don't think you should mess around with captaincy. Mm. But what I do think you can do with captaincy is you can use it to increase your risk in any kind of given game week.
Yep.
Without buying crap players, for want of a better word, because you know, like, people always say, oh, I need to buy a differential, but really, like, you think, no, you don't really have to buy a differential, because, like I said earlier, if you have two options and they're relatively kind of equal, but I say to you, well, look, this week Haaland's going to have maybe 170% EO, but Palmer's going to have 100, well, then Palmer could be a good bet, although, like, I think you would be going into it accepting that I've got the second best pick here,
Which could do well. Because end of the day, Haaland is that forward spot and Palmer is in that midfield spot. So you get that extra point for a goal. If they keep a clean sheet by some miracle, that's an extra point as well. So all of that kind of tiny, tiny numbers do count as well.
It does. And I think the point that you're maybe trying to exploit with Haaland is he 90 minutes ready? And he's probably not 90 minutes ready, and you know, like, he could maybe come off around 80, although he plays more full games than we give him credit for. So I think it depends where you see Haaland's minutes. Now, I think if you see them kind of around mid-70s, Palmer's maybe close to him, but I think if you see Haaland as maybe being kind of low 80s, I think he's clear.
Yep.
But when I'm writing up my captaincy article, Palmer will be the second pick.
Yes.
Haaland will be top. Haaland will be top. Palmer will be second. Sal will be third. He's a wild punt, I do think, because I think Spurs' defence is tragic. You've talked about Emerson Royale. His ownership is going to actually be on the floor compared to Palmer, because Palmer's going to have, like, effectively, like, he'll be over 100% EO. Like, it's a fact, because he's almost universally owned, and it might be capped by about 20% of, like, good managers. Salah won't be. Like, Salah will probably have, like, maybe, I don't know, 30 or 40% EO. So, like, I think if you wanted a wild punt, like, if you were really throwing a Hail Mary and thinking, I'm just going to go for this, who knows? Like, you could back Salah and they could do the same, because I don't think Salah's been bad. I think his stats have been good recently. And I think lots of it is down to kind of variance, like, you know, against United. He could have scored. He scored a penalty, but he could have scored a tap on at the death. And he's had chances in big games, which he just hasn't converted. And then people say, is he the same Salah? But has he maybe just got a wee bit unlucky in the last run of 10 games or whatever? You know, I think it's possible.
Yeah. I'll add to this as well. Now, obviously, the reason for the projected good numbers, I think, are because of the goal difference between City and Arsenal. So people are, like, expecting them to, like, keep scoring high because of that goal difference, to try and, like, Arsenal want to, like, increase their goal difference, City want to try and catch up to their goal difference. So that could kind of affect the markets as well. But given that Arsenal are also, like, expected, like, 3, are they worth considering for those who have Arsenal attack?
In terms of captaincy?
Yeah.
Like, my go-to captain at Arsenal is Saka, because pens and big chance creation, set pieces and stuff like that. But his numbers just don't do it for me at the moment. You know, and I think we've seen on Twitter this season, you know, people kind of get sucked in by Saka, because then they kind of say he doesn't have the goal threat and he's more of a creator, and they kind of create these kind of fake narratives and they look for stuff that isn't really there. And then Saka goes in a run and he scores like 10 points, 15 points, 15 points, 10 points. And he turns into like a shot monster for about 4 games. So you can look at his data, but you can't always read into it, because like you can look at his data for this week and think, I don't really like East Ara, and he could go to Bournemouth and score two and score a 15-pointer, and you'd be thinking, shows you what I know. But for this week, I wouldn't really consider him because I do have
Hal's options. Yeah, top, fair enough.
Hal's top for me, and Palmer statistically is I looked at Palmer's stats, and there was some crazy stuff that. I think he's got the most shots on target out of all the players that I've looked at in my assessment, but he's also got almost the most chances created big chances created and stuff like that, you know. So it's just in terms of like non-paying involvement, I think him and Haaland are roughly about 100 minutes per non-paying involvement, which is it's crazy that he's keeping pace with Haaland. Yeah. But
two more names I'll throw into the ring. One being potentially Phil Foden, if you didn't want to go for that like Haaland route but still wanted a City attacker, but again injury and fitness related that with him. And the other I'll throw is Isak against Burnley.
Could work.
But Newcastle's numbers away from home I've seen are slightly worse than when they're at home. Or significantly.
His numbers are okay.
Yeah, his numbers are good though. Yes, that's true.
His numbers are good because like I saw, do you know FPL Fran?
Yes, I saw that chart that he made.
Fran did a comparison and he looked at Gordon, and Gordon's numbers were like night and day, you know, compared to like Coleman away. But then somebody said, can you do Isak? And he did Isak. And Isak's numbers weren't as stark. You know, he was still doing the good non-paying stuff away from home. And you're kind of thinking, well, I don't know which teams he's played in that sample, because as you say, this has a good fixture. So like, you know, there's a chance of going out and kind of bumping that number up a wee bit. But no, I think those kind of players for me are on the more punter side of captaincy. And it's not really how I play the game or like how I write the article, because captaincy is always something I've been like super safe with. And if I take a wild punt, it'll be in game week 38. Yes. And it'll depend on me thinking I need to make up 20 points or 30 points to win that money. Like, and I can't. The Hail Mary article will be in game week 38, so you should come back and read that.
Yeah, fair enough. All right, cool. All right, so that hopefully, if you guys want to see more information on the captaincy article, it'll be on Scout this week, so make sure to check that out. Thank you, Hibo. That's basically it that I have. Thank you for your time today. Do you have anything to plug?
No, well, just my own article, but apart from that, I think that Fantasy Football Scout do some great kind of written content. And I'll just give a shout out to the editorial team. So like Neil Rigg, Tom Freeman, and Mark Jobling. And I know the way the world's gone in terms of kind of content, this is mostly kind of YouTube and video.
Yeah.
But the written stuff that the boys do is just kind of top class. So like if you're on the kind of written articles, check them out, because there's lots of kind of good content. You know?
Indeed. And now that you mentioned that Mark Joblin, I need to send him a team reveal, because I promised him a team reveal for the Fantasy Football Scout community site.
Really?
Yeah. So I need to send him that after this. But yeah. So thank you, Hibo. And you can also find me, Football Chatbox, on YouTube, where I do weekly videos and deadline streams. That's it for this week's Scout the Game Week. I'll be back after Game Week 36 and looking ahead to Game Week 37. Green aerosol.
Good luck.